Good afternoon. If you were attending the meetings from Tuesday night all the way till this morning, you would know there was so much confirmation from the Lord. And that song, my sister, thank you for allowing the Lord to share that with us. Because we are going to talk today about soldiers. And we started this year. As a matter of fact, the title of the message is Arise and Go. Arise and Go. We started this year in Joshua. And we are midway through the year. You know, in school you have a midterm exam. You know, so we're going to go back to Joshua and we're going to see what the Lord would have us to reflect upon as we consider the soldier of the cross. Joshua chapter 1, just two verses there. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to minister his word and for the prayer of the saints. Moses, my servant, you read it from the New King James Version. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, and the Lord would bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity where we can present your word. Pray, O God, that Christ would be seen, that I would decrease, and Lord God, that every person here would receive a portion according to your perfect will. Thank you that the Holy Spirit has already been leading. And so we continue to hear, we depend to hear on you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Within the last year, God has called home several of his servants in good tidings. And perhaps before the year is out, he may call some of us home, young or old. Unless the Lord Jesus comes to receive his bride. The question is, what are we doing? The time God has given us, the opportunities God has given us, what are we doing? And since we are still on this side of heaven, God is not finished with us, saints. He has work for us to do. Whether we are well or not, young or old. I was glad to see yesterday so many of the young people involved in the Super Seniors program as they were serving. And just to hear the testimonies of these saints, like a Caleb, even up in age, they're serving the Lord. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I saw this quote that speaks of seizing the day. And it says, action is the foundational key to all success. I thought this was quite fitting for the book of Joshua. This first chapter here in verse 8, we know this verse well. God commands Joshua, and he says to him, speak the word, meditate on the word, and then do. Act upon the word. And then you'll find good success. As a result of Joshua's obedience to God's command, his life was full of action. Remember, he was 80 years old when he started to lead. Full of action. And he was successful in everything that he did in obedience to God's word to the very end. And he would say to the children of Israel, serve the Lord. Even in his closing days, serve the Lord. Joshua didn't need a title in order to act upon God's word. He was obedient to God long before he became Israel's leader. He was the one that was with Caleb when they went to spy out the land. And then we read of several of his exploits of how he led in the army of Israel. So Joshua was faithful, and he did it without a title. What are we doing for the Lord? So we want to look at a few words in these two verses here. The first four verses, God is speaking to Joshua as a commanding officer, would rally the troops. And this was 30 days after Moses had died. There was a period of mourning. And now God says to him, to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go. 10 words that transformed Joshua's thinking and prepared him for success. God first says, first, Moses, my servant, is dead. What does that statement mean? Is Moses dead? Or did his office or his function to God ended? We who are God's Bible students, we know from the B66, as we were recently reminded, that 1,400 years prior to Joshua, something amazing happened. Peter, James, and John would witness the transfiguration of Jesus. And lo and behold, who's there? Luke 9 and 30 tells us two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. So Moses is alive. He's not dead. Even though God buried his body in the valley in the land of Moab in Deuteronomy 34. We often say absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Moses lives. Now Moses was not perfect. We know his record. He murdered an Egyptian. And that was before he walked with God. But then he also, after he started walking with God, he struck the Rock of Ages twice. And this rock is Christ. Even though God told him to speak to the rock, this is Christ, and we know Christ died once. So before he walked with God, he was a murderer. And after he walked with God, he still failed and he sinned. But Hebrews 11 and 16 tells us something about the grace of God and the long suffering of God that looks beyond our faults. Listen to what the Spirit of God says. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Who is there? The patriarchs, including Moses, the murderer, the one who struck the Rock of Ages in disobedience to God. God says, I'm not ashamed of him. For he has prepared a city for them. Amazing grace. how God can look beyond our faults because he had a plan. Moses complained, I can't speak, God, so you're still going to go. Aaron is going to go with you. You're still going to go. You know, in the entire Bible, Moses' name is mentioned over 850 times. The murderer, the one who was disobedient to God. He never entered the promised land, but God still used him. The same God of Moses and Joshua speaks to us today. The one who has made us alive by his Spirit for good works, that we should walk in them. Warts and all, God wants to use us. What are we doing, saints? What are we doing with the time and the opportunities given us? He says, my servant. What does that mean? Well, God gives us his definition, and I like when the word of God, and it always answers itself. In Deuteronomy 34 and 10, God speaking of my servant. And you remember now, God is speaking to Joshua, and he's preparing him for a great work he's about to do. And he's laying this foundation. In Deuteronomy 34 and 10, God describing the servant. He says, but since then, that since Joshua was been commissioned, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord speaks to, whom the Lord knew face to face. God had an intimacy with Moses that he knew him face to face. He would speak. In Exodus 33, he spoke to him as a friend. In Numbers 12, he spoke to him plainly, like we would talk to each other in everyday language. Not in any dark sayings. And he saw the form of God. Now here is the man Moses. God speaks to him. God had an intimacy with him. And he says, my servant. We remember Moses when he would come back from the mountain, from the cloud, his face would glow. And Israel couldn't contain it. He had to wear a veil until it wore off. That is the effect that God has when we're in his presence. He says, my servant is the one who knows me. And I know, and I'm speaking with him face to face. Intimacy with God. And so since my servant describes the child of God who has this intimacy with him that is outside of this world, second to the intimacy the Father has with the Son. There are only a few people in Scripture that received this title. Job was one. Abraham received that title. David received that title. And Caleb. Caleb had a different spirit. David was a man after God's own heart. Abraham, his friend. And Job, the one that suffered. Oh, but God restored him. And he says, well, I know my Redeemer liveth. They had an intimacy with God. And God called them my servant. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the elect one in whom God says, my soul delights, who we worship this morning. He will bring justice to the Gentiles. That is us. And that justice is not automatic. For if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, you're a Gentile today, and you're not obviously circumcised, but you must believe on his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called my righteous servant in Isaiah 53, who shall justify many, both Jew and Gentile alike. And so God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant. And this context, Joshua understood one who had an intimacy with God. Joshua may not have understood the future impact of this title, my servant, and how it related to him. But the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, the church. In Titus 2 and 14, we see something there concerning the grace of God. Remember now, my servant, the one who has this intimacy with me. Titus 2 and 14, the Spirit of God shows us there that God, our Savior Jesus Christ, from the end of verse 13 into 14, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purified for himself, notice this, his special people, zealous for good works. Like my servant, he says, we who are in Christ are his special people. Those special people are God's prized possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that we are his special people? His special people, zealous for good works. Joshua, the servant of the Lord, was prepared, he was equipped, he was commissioned by God to go into the promised land. And in the same way, God says to us, the church, his special people, whom he had redeemed to be his workmanship, his masterpiece. He says we are to be eagerly committed to his work, the work of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're his special people. Oh, and he has a special work for us. Good works that we should walk in them. God says, now therefore, linking what was said before to what would come after, God in essence says to Joshua, I went with Moses, my servant. I'm going with you. I have gone before you, and now I am arming you as a soldier in my army with the knowledge of my grace, long-suffering, and power. And he says, arise and go with strength and with courage. And know this, that everywhere your foot treads, I've given to you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Saints, we are his special people, zealous for good works. And just as he says to Joshua, go, arise and go. God has saved us to serve him as his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In him, the Bible says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound towards us in wisdom. Ephesians 1 and 7. Israel went into the land of Canaan, but that land will soon pass away. Remember, God said he has a city for the patriarchs. But we, our inheritance is in him. In him we have redemption. That is not going to pass away. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, Christ is our inheritance, which he made to abound towards us in wisdom. And just as he said to Joshua, everywhere your foot tread, I have given to you, He says, in Christ, we have redemption. And he says, in Romans 8 and 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? No man shall be able to stand before he told Joshua, but who can be against us? Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, the one who gave himself for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, his special people. And then he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And as our sister just reminded us, when we go into all the world and we preach the gospel and we make disciples of the nations, God says what? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm going with you, my special people, zealous for good works. Now, since God has worked for us to do on this side of heaven, and he has prepared for us everything necessary, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ has gone before us. He said, I have overcome the world. Everything necessary to accomplish his work. We must choose now whether to serve the Lord or to remain on the sideline and warm the benches. What are we going to choose? Are we going to be like those who just watch while others suffer and died to bring the gospel and are persecuted to bring the gospel? But there's one thing that is certain, depending on what you choose. There's one thing certain. God is going to require an account at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to require account whether you did or did not do. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know, we often quote Hebrews 9:27, you know, for the unbeliever, but that's also for us, as it is appointed unto man once to die. One day we're going to die. And after that, there's judgment. But our judgment is at the judgment seat of Christ. For the unsaved is the white throne judgment if they die in their sins. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, the one who gave himself for you, we implore you that you would believe on him, that you might be called a child of God, his special people, to do good works. Let us not remain on the sideline, saints, and follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I must work the works of him while it is still day. That is right now when we're living. The night is coming. None of us know when the night is coming. It could be before the end of this month, before the end of this year. What are we doing with the opportunities? I close with the words of Joshua himself. Joshua 24. The servant of the Lord. He never got the title, my servant, but it was said, he's the servant of the Lord. Joshua said, serve the Lord. Choose yourself this day. Don't wait until you get your act together. God didn't wait for Moses to get his act together. He said, you're going to serve me. Who you will serve. And then he concluded, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.
I'd like to thank our pastor, Thornhill, for that very eloquent and timely message.